Harper Audio presents The American Future, A History, written by Simon Sharma and read by Rupert Degas. Copyright 2009 by Simon Sharma. Production copyright 2009 by HarperCollins Publishers. Excerpt from On the Road, Jack Kerouac, 1955-1957, reproduced by kind permission of Penguin Books Limited, Penguin Group USA, and A.M. Heath. Lyrics from Woody Guthrie's Going Down the Road Feeling Bad, 1960, Hollis Music, Inc., New York, reproduced by kind permission of the Richmond Organization. Lyrics from Oklahoma by Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein II, copyright 1943 by Williamson Music, copyright renewed, international copyright secured, all rights reserved, used by permission. History, by apprising them of the past, will enable them to judge of the future. Thomas Jefferson, Notes on the State of Virginia, 1787. Prologue, Iowa Waltz. I can tell you exactly, give or take a minute or two, when American democracy came back from the dead, because I was there. 7:15 p.m. Central Time, the 3rd of January, 2008, Precinct 53, Theodore Roosevelt High. I know this as I was regularly checking my watch, and besides, you couldn't miss the schoolroom clock, its old white face the object of generations of teenage hatred and longing. I suppose a visitor from another world, London, say, might have thought there was not all that much going on in West Des Moines that evening. Minivans were pulling into the come-and-go at the usual clip. Burly men, bulked up by their down jackets, were stamping their feet as they fed fuel pumps to their tanks. Bags of salt were being lugged over the forecourt, the plastic gleaming in the sour orange light. After many months of maneuvering and talky self-promotion, it was time for the Iowa voters to offer judgment on who they thought should be the 44th president of the United States. They would, the media hacks opined, winnow the field, and Iowans are partial to a good winnow. But it wasn't as if a sign was hanging from the steely sky reading Historic Day. The sidewalks weren't carpeted with discarded election flyers, nor was every third downtown store window screaming Huckabee at you. No one that I heard was honking for Hillary. In a couple of days of steady driving around Des Moines, the only street corner placard waver we could find was a solitary devotee of the libertarian Ron Paul, gaunt and hairy like a midwinter John the Baptist, crying his hero up in a downtown wilderness. Every so often a car would toot and the Pauline would wave his banner and then put it down for a moment so he could clap his arms around his chest. Then he'd jump up and down a bit to keep his spirits up and the blood in his brain from going jellied. So even though a lot of happy, we're-in-the-limelight waving to out-of-towners was going on from behind car windows, maybe Iowa was just too frigid for vote hustling. So I said to Jack Judge, our crew driver, while the cameraman and director were off on the far side of the highway getting windburn as they took pretty shots of frozen corn stubble, "It's big, Jack, right?" Jack took off his beanie, pushed the mop of steel-grey hair back from his creased brow, held up the glasses he kept on a cord round his neck, gave them a big ha of steaming breath, wiped them with a Kleenex, and pronounced, "Way big." Jack was definitely someone to ask, seeing as he'd been a bit of a poll himself. A farm boy from Melrose, 50 miles downstate, he had had some fast growing up to do after his daddy lost his fingers in an accident with a combine. Jack attended to the hogs, sheep, and chickens, picked the corn and beans by hand, and cut his own standing timber into fences as best he could. "We had running water," he chuckled, "the kind you had to run to fetch with a bucket." He was 73 now, but still grittily handsome, and you only had to take a look at his open face to see a man who would do right by his family and his neighbors. Then, in the spring of 1960, a young Boston Irish senator came through Melrose, which was nowhere in particular, but which pointed north toward Des Moines. The senator stopped long enough at a coffee shop for Jack to get a good look and take in the glamorously tousled hair, the winning freckles, the stream of wisecracks, and the merry mugging for the cameras. Surrounding Kennedy were fast talkers in snap-brim hats, pulling anxiously on cigarettes while they shook the papers open or pushed coins into payphones. The candidate had put in a lot of Iowa miles already, but in Melrose, he poured on the happy-go-lucky like it was maple
Sample complete. Ready to continue?